The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
The Cup is coming back to the Mile High City. Mission 16W accomplished. Celebrating Colorado's latest championship. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
All the small things.
Heavily pending at East Tampa Bay.
About the comparisons between Joe Sakic and John Elway. Our guy write about that for DenverFan.com, John Davis?
John Davis, yeah. Yes.
Okay, so you can read all about it at DenverFan.com. I said congrats to Joe. Joe's the nicest dude, by the way, and as well as being a Hall of Famer and a world-class executive, and he's just like a good guy. And I'll never forget after the 48-point season, we had Joe on the show, and we're just like, why are you even doing this? You know, like, because it was so bad. And he goes, guys, I really don't even know. Because you just could not see the light at the end of the tunnel. But they did have some great core guys, and they knew it, and they knew what their plan was. And, you know, it differed from what Patrick Waugh wanted to do. And they stuck with Bednar, and they had a plan. Here's my question. And first of all, thank you to our listeners in Boulder for making 104.3 The Fan part of your day. It's obvious, Tyler, there was a philosophical approach about how they were going to do things, and they stuck to it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the biggest lesson the Broncos can learn?
Well, there's stuff that you could look at for sure. You know, I've always said in football, you could be a good team with one or two superstars on each side of the ball, but you can't be a championship team unless you've got at least two, maybe three superstars on each side of the ball. Mm-hmm. You might be able to compete if you've got one on each side. But I mean, if you truly want to be like a dynasty type of team, you got to have enough people that could overcome. Because guess what? Nathan McKinnon, he had dry spouts. He had plenty of periods where he needed Cale Makar to step up to the plate. He needed Josh Manson to hit a game winner. Superstars, they can't always carry it. And you look at the Avalanche team, what they've got. Well, they know their strengths and they know their weaknesses. And they played to their strengths and they hit their weaknesses well enough. I mean, their weakness was their goalie. I would consider, like, if you wanted to compare it to football, goalie's got to be quarterback. That's got to be the closest comparison. Well, we've got a great quarterback now for Denver Broncos. But we probably don't have enough superstars on this team to say that they're a championship-level team just yet. It depends on what the young guys do, though. Really, if you want to be a healthy, sustained dynasty, you got to have young guys that are going to be there for a long time, and that's exactly what the Avalanche have got right now. So for the Denver Broncos, you know, Cortland Sutton's got to turn into a superstar. Jerry Jeudy's got to turn into a superstar. You need a couple pass rushers to work out here. Bradley Chubb needs to step up to the plate. But you also got to know your strengths and you got to know your weaknesses and play to it. So the Broncos, they've now got a strength at quarterback that is the opposite of the Avalanche. Their weakness was goalie. They overcame that through great offense, and they kept the puck out of their own end. That's what they did. So Denver Broncos, they just got to figure out who are the young guys. You got to draft well, and you got to find enough superstars around you that you're going to make up for it so that you can overcome your weakest links. I'll be fascinated to see what happens with Avalanche with goaltender. I mean, do you think Darcy Kuemper is the goaltender moving forward?
I do. But Joe was specifically asked, when does it work for next year's start? What a brutal question to ask. But it's naturally what everybody thinks about.
Yeah, I was asked there. It won't be tonight. It won't be working tonight. Maybe not tomorrow. But at some point, we got to get back to work. So it'll probably be a couple of days. It's the draft is coming right around the corner. So we're going to get ready for that. But, actually, we don't have a first-round pick. So maybe even that Friday we can relax. But we know we got some work to do, and we'll get to that. But right now, it's just enjoy the moment.
Well, they don't have a first-round pick or a second-round pick.
Yeah.
So...
Well, I think that Darcy Kuemper deserves a lot of credit for what he was able to do this year.
Yeah.
Was a fine goaltender, wasn't a great goaltender, but he stepped up when you needed him the most. He fought through adversity. But it is the reality. That's the weakest link on that team. So if you're looking for the most obvious areas that they need to get better at, goaltender certainly feels like it's one of them. And you got to identify that. You probably won't be able to draft a goaltender that's going to be better than Darcy Kemper. You might not even be able to go out and sign somebody. And maybe Darcy Kemper is your goaltender moving forward. But you got to find ways to fortify what is a weak link on your team, whether that's through great defensemen or whether that's through great offense.
I love hearing about your reactions and where you were and what it meant to you. So Logan and Jake, hang on. 303-713-1043 if you want to chime in. And yeah, the journey of Darcy Kemper. Got a chance to catch up with him last night and just, I don't know, man. I know he's been through the ringer. And he played a hell of a game last night, and he played big. He might have played one of his better games when they needed it the most, and the result, you got it. You got a Stanley Cup champion. I still can't believe it really happened. As favored as they were and as good as they were, still it seems amazing that it's actually happened. We'll get some more of your reaction next.
The Cup is coming back to the Mile High City. Mission 16W accomplished. Celebrating Colorado's latest championship. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
We are the champions, my friends.
Heavily bending against Tampa Bay. Comes back to fire the cross.
Arturi Lehkonen on his game-winning goal.
To be honest, I have no idea. Today, the puck bounced to me. I was just trying to hit the net, and luckily it went in.
Lehkonen was actually kind of emotional afterwards.
A little tired, to be honest, but I mean, yeah, it feels unbelievable. I mean, I've been both sides, on the losing side and now on the winning side. It's feels great.
Oh, man. Listen, do not get me wrong. I'm thrilled the Avalanche won, okay? But there is part of me that looks at the losing side and just,
yeah.
Like, oh my God.
It's tough, man.
Like, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with being on that losing side?
I've been to two Super Bowls in my life. I won one of them. So that was one of them that I went to, and I went to another one as a fan. And it was the year after I retired. And it was my old team, the Atlanta Falcons. They were playing. My best friend, Chris Chester, he played for the Falcons. He came to my Super Bowl. So when they were playing, I went to his Super Bowl. I was sitting in the fan section, the family section. And everybody that remembers that game knows, man, Atlanta fans were feeling good for a while. And then it just blew up. And to go to the after party and to see what those guys were going through, you know, there's drinking and celebration, and then there's the misery side of it, right? And to go to that party that is planned and paid for, and they're going to have the party no matter what, and just see those guys, gosh, the pain that is there. So you can see, you know, the Avalanche haven't gotten that close. They haven't tasted that kind of pain because they've had early exits. But they've had similar pain because they've been a team that's had high expectations for a couple of years now. And I think that's been a huge part of their story because they embraced that pain. They embraced those losses. They embraced the moment where Nathan MacKinnon went nuts against St. Louis and they lost the game. All those moments, I do think it was a huge part of the story this year that these guys, they remembered all that pain and they used it.
No wonder Vaughn went to the Seahawks celebration party, you know? I mean, just wants to go to a party. Logan, you're on the fan. What was your experience, Logan?
Hey, D-Mac. So I called in on Friday, and I wanted it to end on game five.
Of course.
I'm so glad I was wrong because we flew into St. Pete Saturday morning.
Nice.
My son and I, we drove from St. Pete over to Tampa because it was much more financially doable there in Tampa. And just the memories. My son saw Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair. He's 7 years old. So, and the environment there, I mean, it was loud. And after they scored, that paper that they had on the seats, he crumpled it up and threw it on the ground. So it was like, it was a great memory to have.
Hey, Logan, do you want to torture everybody here? How much did you guys pay for your seats?
All in all, it was a little under $1,000.
Yeah. For two seats.
Tickets. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, you couldn't get in the door Friday night in Denver for under $1,700.
That's wild. Okay.
It was so much cheaper. I mean, that's still a lot of money, Logan. I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, but still, comparatively, and you probably could have even spent a little bit less if you really wanted to be honest with you. So
yeah, and to correlate it to that $1,000, a drop in the bucket for the memories we'll have.
Oh, heck
no,
yes.
Kidding. No, when, no doubt about it.
When that pyro went off, you know, his 7-year-old eyes lit up. He's like,
Did you guys make your way down to the glass at the end?
Oh yeah, we got pictures down by the glass.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Oh, I must have been close to you then. We must have been in the same area at some point. I had a lot of. It was great. I got a lot of hate, D-Max. I got one guy. I went out to lunch in Ybor City, which is kind of like the French Quarter of Tampa, that sort of thing. And a guy was, he was joking, like stalking me. But I'm literally walking out of the lunch down the street, and he's like, D-Mac, stay there. I'm turning around. And I ended up chatting with him for a good bit, and he gave me a ride home. And I had a great sort of chat with him. I met the Erie High School football coaches were there and came and said hello. So a lot of people.
What a moment for you and your son. What a moment. You'll never forget it.
They're 4A. They're the enemy. But that's awesome. It was a great experience. And to your point, D-Mac, the fans in Tampa, like, they were almost too nice.
Yeah, they are nice fans. They're good people.
They are.
Thank you for the call, Logan. Appreciate it. Very respectful, not angry or bitter or anything like that. You wouldn't have felt threatened whatsoever to wear your Avalanche gear. They were, you know, full throat for their team. But they were respectful of the other team. It was a great environment to go to. I would highly recommend, if you got a youngster or something, if you want to take a really fun road trip, go see a Lightning game.
Well, so, I mean, obviously, the memory that Logan created with his son, that's very unique. He got to fly there. He got to go to the game. He got to be there for the winning game. That's going to be a memory that they'll never forget. But that's what's so amazing about this. It doesn't matter where you were. It doesn't matter if you were at the games. It didn't matter if you went to a single one. But if you were at home watching with your kids, you know, how many sporting events did we watch in our lifetime that you have no clue what happened? I mean, I played in thousands of them that I barely have any clue what happened in my own career. But you remember certain moments. I know I'll remember exactly where I was when Kadri had his hat trick. That was one of those moments. And it wasn't even a championship game. But you get to the championship game, and those are memories that last a lifetime with your family. That's what makes it so amazing. And so, you know what? On Thursday, when we've got this parade, man, I would strongly advise do what you can to go make a memory, because that's another moment that you and your family, you will never, ever forget.
All right, we'll get to that. We got big plans for the parade, too, and we'll have coverage of everything top to bottom. And I got to tell you a story. I almost, the devil was tapping me on the shoulder.
Oh.
On Saturday night, Tyler. Got a story for you.
Okay.
And the most interesting bachelor party came about. Details coming up next.
The Cup is coming back to the Mile High City. Mission 16W accomplished. Celebrating Colorado's latest championship. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
Coming down the mountain.
Defending and beat Tampa Bay. Comes back to fire from across. Scores. Deep time. It's Nathan McKinnon. Three on two. McKinnon tried to get it back. Just Arturi Lehtinen.
5 seconds to go. Up it comes to the line. Colorado has won the Stanley Cup.
Hard to believe. I don't know. It's an amazing feeling. It's you know, it's still sinking in. It's, I feel like we've been working for this for so long. It's unbelievable. There's a overwhelming sense of satisfaction, relief. You know, all the emotions kind of hit you all at once. But I tell you, at the end of the day, I'm just so proud of these guys and their dedication and commitment and hunger to try and win this year. I mean, they've been fantastic since day one of training camp. I love seeing the look on their faces that they all came together and got rewarded. It's amazing.
Ah, his real Canadian comes out in one of his joyous moments there, Jared Bednar. Dapper as always, composed, happy, smiling. He said at the end, he gave props to John Cooper in Tampa Bay, and he goes, I don't know how they've done it because it's just such an exhausting process.
Yeah.
Process. And all respect to the Lightning. And he gave them their props, too. I'll get to my bachelor party story, which is pretty funny, which involves the Avalanche coaches, kind of, sort of. Jake from Littleton. Jake.
What's up, buddy?
How was it?
Hey, gentlemen. How we doing?
Great.
Awesome.
Good. Hey, well, I'll try and be quick on my cup story here, and then I'll drop off. Back, you know, taking it back to the 01 cup run after we won. The players are doing their autograph signings around town and whatnot, and so I ended up at the Fort Collins Mall for a Milan Hayduk signing, and stood in line all day, and right as I get into the little velvet rope, they close it behind me. I was the last one in. So we get up, wait my turn. I get to meet Hayduk. I get his autograph, and he asks what my plans are for the day, and it just so happened to be that I was celebrating a birthday, and we were headed to lunch. So in 2001, Milan Hayduk took me to lunch for my 12th
birthday. Stop it.
Yeah.
With the cup.
Yeah, you'll have to, next time I see Cecil, I'll bring him a picture and I'll have him bring it into the office and show you boys.
That's amazing. A good one, man. You want to talk about meeting your heroes. Oftentimes it doesn't work out well. What a moment.
How do you not be an Avalanche fan for life after that?
Wait, with the cup?
Not with the cup. So he was just doing the autograph signing. If the cup got to go to lunch with me, that'd be really cool. But at least, you know, with the Stanley Cup win, I got to have lunch with Milan Hayduk that he bought on his dime.
Amazing. There you go. That's great. All right. Thank you, Jake. So the place to be in Tampa, near where the players were staying, everybody kind of stayed in the same sort of area. Have you been to Tampa before?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I didn't see the football stadium. I wasn't sure where that's located. Is it near the hockey arena or not? I didn't see
it. I'm not entirely sure, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I've played there many times. I don't exactly know exactly where it was, though.
Okay. Anyway, there's some businesses and stuff near the arena, Tyler, but not a ton. And there's one place in particular. It's called Jackson's, and it's kind of a mix of sushi and American cuisine, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But it's really nice. It's right out there on the bay. It's right where all the boat tours stop and gather. It's, you know, it's a pretty central location on the water. And the Avalanche coaching staff had been there a few times, and they were there Saturday night. And the bartender even goes, yeah, the entire staff, the coach is here. I go, you're kidding me.
On Saturday night.
On Saturday night.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I go over and look, and man.
What time?
Like 8 o'clock, something like that.
Okay.
7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, some along those lines. And you know what? I did a little stalking. Wasn't looking for an invite. Wasn't going to bother him. But I just wanted to get a sense of, like, who was there. And I was like, hey, wow, everybody's there. Like, the whole staff is there. Like, 9 guys are hanging out there. And you know what? I know it's just a dinner, but I'll just let you know this. It was a very relaxed, sort of comfortable mood that they obviously were in. And they were comfortable enough to go out together as a group and not a private area.
Sure.
Not cordoned off. They were right in the middle of the restaurant where anybody could have seen them.
It's so funny to be thinking about the differences. Like when we go on the road, man, we didn't have time to do stuff like that. You know, maybe you could go out for a quick dinner before your meetings began.
Oh, no.
But then you'd have meetings and you'd get out at 9:30. You'd have a snack. You'd go up to your room. You'd have curfew at 11 o'clock, right? To imagine the coaching staff out just Saturday night, just having a relaxed evening, having a couple cold ones and hanging out with D-Mac.
Well, they weren't hanging, but we were in the same area, that's for sure. And I'm sure that they left at a reasonable time, and it wasn't wild and crazy or anything like that. It was very, but you could just get a sense that, okay, everything seems pretty cool. And then when you talk to Mikko Rantanen the next day, and then, by the way, the Avs had a morning skate of 11:30, which is pretty late. Because the game started at 8 o'clock back there, and the visiting team always has the late morning skate. So nobody was doing anything kind of outrageous or unjustified. It was all very reasonable. And then Mikko Rantanen talked about how they were gripping too tight in Game 5.
Okay.
And that as great as the home crowd is, when you're even or you're down, man, you can start feeling those nerves a little bit, and you can feel the pressure. And Mikko Rantanen just admitted it. And then Cale Makar last night told me that it was because of Game 5 against St. Louis, Tyler, where they lost, but they were able to win Game 6. He said that was a turning point for them in this entire playoff run, that they gained a lot from that. And I could not help but thinking of the painful lesson from the Broncos when they lost to Jacksonville. But it propelled them, when I talked to those fellas, to win two more afterwards. And there's some guys on that team that said they wouldn't have won two had they just won one, because they wouldn't the hunger and the pain and all that would not have been as strong. Can you feel that?
Well, yes, I can. Most of the time I would say no, because most of the time you've got a bad loss. Well, you weren't a very good team anyways. You didn't make it that far. The majority of guys are going to turn over. There's such a separation between last year and this year. But on teams like the Broncos had then, that was an era. That was a run that they were in the middle of it. They were beginning it. The Avalanche, they've been in the middle of a run that, you know, it hasn't gone too well up until this year, but there certainly were high expectations. It takes a team that's got enough core superstars that you know are going to be around for the following year in order for a game like that or a series like the Avalanche have had early exits to have an impact. But there's got to be so many guys that are retained in order for it to have that type of effect. But I do buy that happened with the Avalanche. Sure. You know, it's funny to hear that he feels more comfortable on the road. That one shocks me. You know, I did enjoy playing on the road, and there was a lot of there were aspects of it that were different. Like there was nothing better than shutting up an away crowd. Mm-hmm. They're loud, they're booing you, they're going crazy in the first couple quarters. You get up by a couple touchdowns, and they're booing their own team. That's the most satisfying feeling in the world. Mm-hmm. I loved that feeling, but I've never felt more comfortable playing on the road than I have at home. So that does feel a bit surprising to me.
Well, here's what happens though: when things are really going your way, and you take that crowd out of it, it's like you're at home. It's like you're, and I think to a certain degree, it's just a tad easier to focus on everything. And I don't know, man. How do you argue it? They went 9-1 on the road, Tyler. 7-3 at home. They were better on the road than they were at home. It's bananas.
That's wild. I mean, I don't know what to say other than that shocks me. I've never felt more comfortable on the road. I love the feeling of shutting up a road crowd. You know, being on the road and getting those guys quiet, that was fantastic. But there's nothing like the energy that comes from your home environment.
They won every series to win the cup on the road.
Yeah.
They close on the road in every series.
I can't fight the facts.
It's crazy. So I'm sitting there at the bar and having a little sushi and a nice little dinner. And my guy, Mike Chambers of the Post, is there. He comes up and meets me. And I'm like, there you go. There's three guys there. And they're from Colorado. And they're at a bachelor party. They had planned the bachelor party months ago, and they just so happened to be there for Game 6. Unfreaking believable that they just happened to do that. And right. So they were planning on, you know, the tickets. I know that probably breaks some people's hearts out there to hear how cheap, relatively cheap the tickets were there in Tampa. But Tyler, they did. I'm telling you, because we bonded. After a while, we bonded. Me and the boys were bonding, okay? And I did get the invite to tag along with them to
probably not a good idea.
And here's what I was promised. D-Mac, I promise I won't put anything out there about whatever happens. Whatever happens with us tonight is just us. I promise you that.
Yeah, that's a lie.
I was like, boys, I hope you have a good time.
Nah, that's funny.
So the Cleveland D-Mac did not quite...
I don't know about that. I was reading a lot of tweets at about 2, 3 a.m. Matter of fact, I saw that was it a Canadian muggle or some random muggle?
I'll tell you the
story. Had to walk you home. So if you're telling me, and in that tweet said I didn't need to walk me home. If he felt the need to walk you home, you needed to be walked home.
I will give you that story. It's a good story. I can tell that story on the air. Stories from the road next.
The Cup is coming back to the Mile High City. Mission 16W accomplished. Celebrating Colorado's latest championship. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
All the small things.
Defending against Tampa Bay. Comes back to fire with the cross. Scores. McKinnon up ahead, Manson, 3-on-2. McKinnon trying to get it back.
cool things about covering the team, of course, being around the team and the coaches, but also being around the other media. And for the Stanley Cup, Tyler, it's the media from all over the world.
Sure.
And so it's a fascinating way to get perspective on your team from their point of view and their eyes. And you learn things not only about, you know, the Avs, but who they're playing and the process of the whole thing. And hockey is just so international. There is a hockey bar. It is a hockey bar in Tampa. Pure hockey. It's crazy. There's no other sports really represented. It is hockey, called Hat Tricks. And it became the watering hole for the media, basically. So I'm sitting there with Chambers, and I think we had a bucket, you know, few wings, right? And that was more or less going to be it. But in comes a couple muggles. There's Aaron and Taylor from Fox 31. Oh, come on over.
And all of a sudden, you're just getting started.
And then here come the guys from Finland.
Oh.
And there's one guy in particular, Ville, and he's been at a lot of stuff. So he's kind of a regular guy. And then another dude joined him from Finland who was like the broadcaster. He's like the Mike Tirico of Finland, I guess. You know, he's like the guy. Okay. And he was there. Every other word out of his mouth was the F word with a Finnish accent. And it was wild. Just like, you know.
Can you just say that so I could just hear it?
He was the filthiest Finn I've ever finagled with.
Okay.
He was fascinating. And then there's a guy from Winnipeg who was terrific, who's on Hockey Night in Canada. And he brought, you know, a guy from Toronto. So I'm like, Denver here and Finland and Toronto and Winnipeg. And Tyler, I tell you what, we closed that place down, just having a great talk about all sorts of things with hockey and the world and this player and that player and the other player. And then at the end of the day, I learned my lesson. I learned my lesson from not picking up the tab with Josh Allen.
Oh!
It's at the end of the night when the bar was closing, we closed it down. The bill came and everybody had that pause. The Finns, the Torontians, the Winnipegians, and I said, I got it.
Jeez. Goodness. I mean, listen.
Picked it up.
I get picked the grief that you got with Josh Allen. That was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I'm not quite sure why you felt the pressure to pick up the bill for a bunch of muggles that you didn't know.
It just seemed like, I swear to God, I was thinking about Josh Allen, and I was just like, you know.
Who were you trying to press, or what were you trying to get?
Well, let me tell you, it went over well. Trust me.
I'm sure it did.
I was getting also. Here's what I was getting.
Man, they pay well out there in Colorado, huh?
Here's what they thought. You know what they said to me? We'll get you back in Denver.
Right, right.
And the overall feeling.
And you let them get that off on you, too.
I said, I don't know. I don't know if that's. No, I downplayed. I didn't encourage them.
Man, how many people are we talking about here?
About a dozen.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That sounds like you.
It's a couple bucks.
No, it sounds like you probably weren't making sound decisions. That's what that sounds like.
No. It was.
Yes, it does.
I already told you, I turned down going to the ballet.
Well, that was a good decision.
Yeah. I turned that down. And no, and then the guy from Winnipeg, and I wish I remember his name. Good looking fella. He we're starting to walk out, and me and him were the last ones there. And he goes, oh, where are you staying? And I go, well, the Sheridan. He goes, all right. And he walks me over to the Sheridan. And we're chatting about this, that, and his kids. And other things. And then he goes,
I love the idea of somebody having to walk you home.
Well, he didn't have to.
A Finnish dude walking you home.
Well, this is the Winnipeg guy.
Winnipeg.
I'm never going to let a Finn walk me home.
Oh, right. That'd be crazy.
Crazy?
Yeah.
You don't let Finns walk you home.
No.
And then he was like, okay, you know. I go, wait. I go to him. Wait, aren't you staying here? He goes, oh, no. I just want to make sure you got home. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
I love how you tweeted out after that. I was totally fine. He didn't need to walk me home.
He definitely did not need to walk me home.
He would not have walked you home unless he felt the need to walk you home.
There was no. Seriously, it was, you're not gonna believe me, but I mean,
no.
I don't think it had anything to do with me. I think it was just the unbelievable politeness of Canadians.
Oh, that was his gratitude for you paying the bill.
I think
he's gonna walk you home.
I think that I couldn't believe he wasn't staying there. Dude, I didn't run into the hotel and then run back out.
Well, I've seen you do it. I mean, it wouldn't be that crazy.
No, man, the Canadians are just wicked polite. I don't know. That's the only thing I can come up with. Adrian Dater from ColoradoHockeyNow.com. Adrian, they did it. Can you believe it? They are Stanley Cup champions. What do you think was the best move that Joe Sakic made personnel-wise to get him to this point?
Oh, good question, D-Mac. Wow. I think Arturi Lekkonen was the best, though. Okay. Tried to name it.
So am I fair to say, and if I'm not, correct me, but am I fair to say it was the decision whether or not to go get Fleury or go add Lekkonen / Giroux, and ultimately it was Lekkonen?
You know, I don't know for sure they asked about Fleury, but, you know, you see enough smoke, there's probably some fire. I did hear some things at that time. Honestly, GMs talk all the time. You know, sometimes they let things slip. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. Listen, Joe Sakic made every single right move for this team. It's like one of the greatest GM jobs of all time in a season. Not only did he, you know, he got the best goalie on the market last summer at the time. Remember when Philip Grubauer said it's a no-brainer to go to Seattle and take that contract?
Right.
He got Darcy Kemper for not a whole lot. I mean, at the time, some people thought it might be a little bit, but, and we all know Darcy made us nervous this year at times, but he got the job done. I believe his save percentage was like .934 in the last few games from game two, I believe. So then he hit the, he hit four aces at the deadline. He gets Cogliano, Lekkonen, Manson, and Sturm, all of them who made really good, big contributions to this team, some more than others. But it was just unbelievable. He signed Landeskog to a free agent deal. He got Makar signed to a long-term deal. He's going to sign MacKinnon to a long-term extension very soon. And Joe Sakic just is an amazing man. I don't know what to say. He's always been like Mr. Perfect to me. He just never does anything really wrong in his life. You know, he doesn't win a cup every single year, but he's a superb man and a great guy. And look at him now. GM, Stanley Cup, two times as a player, Olympic gold medal, MVP. You know, he's done everything, you know, D-Mac, except the proverbial sweeping up the popcorn after it's all over. I mean, he just does it all.
Adrian, give me the best feel-good story of the playoffs, and give me the unsung hero of the playoffs.
I think the best feel-good story of the playoffs was Nazem Kadri coming back from his thumb injury of schedule.
Yeah,
you know, that's usually a 4 to 6 week injury that he had, surgery on a thumb. He came back in 18 days, and we saw what he did. He wasn't just out there on his skates. He contributed. He won that game in overtime, and game four. So that's a feel good story for me. Most unsung hero of the playoffs, you know, I think it's probably a toss up between Bo Byram and in a lesser way, Andrew Cogliano. I thought he was another feel good story too, coming back from his own broken finger and doing what he did. But you know, I think not a lot of people really talked about what Bo did in this, not only the playoffs, but coming back from his concussion issues. And man, was he good. I mean, he was so good. And no wonder the Avs took him at number four in the draft. And I think, you know, maybe that's the best true feel-good story of the playoffs, is Byram coming back from his serious concussion problems to hoisting the Stanley Cup last night.
Who's likely staying? Who's likely going?
Likely staying. I think Nichushkin stays. I think they're going to make it a priority to sign him. I think I'd say it's like 30-70 that Kadri stays. I hope he comes back. He's a great second-line center and a quality guy, and I loved what he said after the game last night, although I can't repeat it here. Andrei Burakovsky's almost certainly gone. $4.9 million. Don't think they can afford to sign him again at that number. So yeah, you still might lose two really good guys here. That said, they're going to have some extra cap room. Probably if those guys leave, you know, there could be replacements. I hope Kadri comes back. I really think that, boy, you know, this guy had an amazing season.
Oh yeah.
I guess the question is, if you sign him to a long-term deal, can you live with maybe the later part of that deal not being as great as the early part of the deal?
We're chatting with our Avalanche insider, Adrian Dater. Adrian, it feels like throughout the playoffs, the only real drama, the only real debate was about Darcy Kuemper and goaltender. What do you think is Darcy's story now that the playoffs is done? And, you know, he only gives up one goal in the final game. What's his story when it's all said and done?
I meant to mention him too, guys who I think are going to go. I think Darcy goes. Just my hunch. He's going to want a 5-year deal, $6 million. I don't know if the Avs want to do that. I think they love what Darcy did. I also think they got a few ulcers from Darcy.
You think they bring in Husso?
I think Francois probably goes into camp next year as the number one goalie.
I said completely wrong. Right.
Or the Avs go out and sign a free agent. Maybe it could be Marc-Andre Fleury, guys. He's going to be a free agent. That's possible, right? He's a free agent, and he wants to go to a good team to win a cup. Why not the Colorado Avalanche?
I was suggesting Husso from St. Louis.
Yeah, I've heard his name too. Maybe. You know, I don't know.
Feels like Darcy. That feels like Darcy. Like, why not just bring Darcy back if that's what you're doing?
Because they've got a Finnish goaltender coach, and Husso's a Finn.
It's a guy that had the same exact story as Darcy this year. Like, almost verbatim.
Do you want to sign Darcy for 5 years? And pin it all on him. Yes or no?
No. Because you have Eustace Annan coming up as well. Another friend, by the way. We got the Finnish connection coming down the pipe.
I mean, the goal is to get better every year, even if you win Stanley Cup. And if there's one obvious area that they would like to get better, it's certainly goaltender.
I think Frankie showed well in the playoffs. He was 6-0. I know there was a couple of rough outings, but you know, he was 6-0 with a .906 save percentage. That was pretty darn good for a backup goalie. So maybe if he's healthy, and, you know, the guys love him too on the team. I know that. And they like Darcy a lot too. Like, nobody dislikes Darcy Kuemper. Everybody on the team is thankful for Darcy right now for what he did. I'm talking long-term future now. I think the Avs may think they can get away with a year or two of Frankie and another free agent signing, maybe Fleury, maybe Husso, and go that route. I just don't know in my heart that I believe that they want to sign Darcy long term.
Did you like your appearance and how you looked and what you said on Unrivaled, the Red Wings?
No.
Oh, wow.
What? No.
Wow, D-back. Holy cow. No. Shots fired.
I was just talking about that with my wife. Like, I'm like, geez, when did I turn into like a 180-year-old man?
What are you talking about? I thought you looked good.
Hold on. Why'd you ask that question?
Because I thought he looked good. I thought it was a positive.
If that's good, I hate to know what bad looks like.
Oh, all right.
I'll ask somebody how they felt about their appearance.
1,000 years old. You could see the HD brought out some wrinkles in my face.
I thought you looked
cringing.
No, it was cool.
Cringing.
I enjoyed the
show otherwise. I thought it was really good. What did you guys think?
I thought it was great. I thought you were great. I thought it was really cool perspective. I was trying to say it as a compliment. That went wildly wrong.
I get the classic thing, right, guys? You know this. I did like a 3-hour interview downtown for that whole thing. I think they used like 3 full minutes of it.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was cool.
Hey, hell of a year, Adrian.
Yeah,
they
great
did
year.
It. They
great
did it.
Year.
It was great having you on
they
all year
it.
Long.
They did it.
Great stuff.
They did, and I want to say thanks to all the Avs fans who've been listening to us on this all year long. We've been there right back since, Edmonton 2020, right?
That's right.
From that day forward to here, I feel the best for Avalanche fans who I know really struggled the last 10 or 15 years. So I just feel so good for them. That's all I care about. I've had a couple of these experiences before. And I'm not a player or anything, so I'm just a writer, but I know how happy fans were last night. My goodness, my inbox today was pummeled today with just so many, happy today.
That's awesome.
Tweets and things, so good. I think that's the best part of this.
It's Adrian Dater, who will always be remembered for...
Go Oilers!
We appreciate it. Thanks, AD. We'll talk to you later. There you go. Adrian Dater, ColoradoHockeyNow.com. Our guy.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.